And it's not so obvious. If you choose an orthogonal to the previous direction, it ends up being orthogonal to all previous directions, which I don't believe is obvious. So what is the difference, therefore, between So this formula, this page here, so if we were mathematicians, we wouldn't have done all this stuff about optimization and format, continuity and gradient. We would have gone straight to this page here. Because this page here is entirely sufficient to do the continuity and gradient. My only problem with this page is it's not quite so obvious why the formula is what it is. Well, say for Jacobi or Gauss-Seidel, I would use the iteration as sort of relatively obvious and intuitive what it's doing. I do not view it as entirely intuitive what these equations are doing. So what does it say? So if we look at the second equation, it says, having calculated the zeroth residual, which is the steepest descent direction, we set the direction P1, which we're going to minimize along for the first step, to be the true steepest descent. In general, we set the kth direction for minimizing along to be the kth minus 1 residual, which is the steepest descent direction, at the kth minus 1 step, plus a correction, which correction is added on to make this direction orthogonal to the previous direction. So we're just subtracting out the components. See, P of k minus 1 is the previous direction we stepped along. So we're taking away, see, we want in this thinking here, we want to go, we don't want to keep heading in this direction, we want to subtract off that component and head in that direction. So this theta of k times the k minus 1 direction is precisely, we're going to choose beta of k to subtract off any component the k minus 1 residual has along the previous direction of minimization. P of k minus 1 was the previous direction we used. Because we're doing P of 1, P of 2, we go along P1, then we go along P2, then we go along P3, and these are effectively orthogonal directions in our n-dimensional space. And we're going to we end up choosing n orthogonal directions, because there are n orthogonal directions in the n-dimensional space, and they're all mutually orthogonal with respect to this metric A. And this is a method for choosing them. All right. So, you can calculate how to subtract off that component, and that formula is given here. It's P of k minus transpose of times A times R of k minus 1 over P of k minus 1 transpose A of P of k minus 1. So we have a formula for P of k in terms of in terms of the current residual and the previous shift direction. Now we have a quadratic formula for alpha of k. We can solve that quadratic formula with exactly the same formula, because that doesn't care whether p of k replaces r of k or not. So alpha of k is just pk transpose pk over pk transpose apk. And so then we said x of k is at x of k minus 1 plus alpha of k pk. And R of k is b minus a of x of k. So that's the formula. So this page is the conjugate gradient method. Now, it takes n steps. Unlike for Jacobi iteration, it does not converge exactly after any number of steps. It gets better and better, and we estimated that it had needed n squared steps to be acceptable. But, if you have a certain multiple of n squared steps, you get 10 to the minus 3 accuracy. If you have another multiple, you'll get 10 to the minus 6 accuracy. So you'll never get zero rigorously. Conjugate gradient, if you have no rounding error, will rigorously give you the right answer, because it's guaranteed to converge after n steps. However, you don't necessarily need to use n steps. Because you may find that the residual is quite small after a much smaller number of n steps. So conjugate gradient is guaranteed to converge in n, but actually can give totally acceptable answers after much smaller than n steps. And you would use a standard criteria for choosing to stop it. So